without any further ado, let's invite Linda up to bring the word.
Well, before the service started, I had to go to the bathroom. I am a woman. I have three children. So I had to go to the bathroom, and I go in the bathroom, and I come here very often for different things, so I know exactly where the bathroom is. But I go in, and Tony is in one of the things, reading scripture. And I think, I have come in the wrong bathroom. He's rehearsing something. And so I go outside, and sure enough, I'm in the women's bathroom. And I go back in, and he's praying in here, but the speakers are... My scripture this morning comes from Mark chapter 10, verses 35, beginning with 35 through 45. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit on your right and the other on the left in your glory. You don't know what you are asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said, oh, we can. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit on the right and the left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. Then the ten heard about this, and they became indignant with James and John. And Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be a servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Father, our hearts are open to hear what you have to say to us this morning. Teach us, bless us, help us to hear what you want us to hear. Refine us this morning through your word. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. The brothers James and John told Jesus, Rabbi, whatever we ask, we want you to do it. Well, about 45 years ago, I was riding pretty high. 40 years ago, 45. I was riding pretty high. I had 4 best-selling Christian books. My books have sold over 1 million copies. I had hundreds of magazine articles. I was a conference speaker. We had 2 large Bible studies, one in the morning and one at night. And then all of that came crashing down around me because of gossip, lies, and betrayal. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. You know, my instant response to James and John was the gall of them to expect Jesus to answer that. Yet how often do I come to Jesus with the same attitude? When a concern or ambition rises in me, is the first thing that I ask, what do I need to learn? Is this selfish? No. I want to yank God by the sleeves and until my ambition and my desires have been fulfilled. The problem is, I never seem to ask, how do I become more like Christ? What is the opposite of my selfish, worldly ambition? Understanding I can depend on the Lord to do what is best for me. 1 Corinthians 4:17. We have small troubles for a while now, but they are helping us gain an eternal glory that is much greater than the troubles. Remember the days when you dreamed that somehow you'd be getting $1 million? Mark 10:35-36. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. And Jesus said, what do you want? James and John, they came to Jesus asking, give us whatever we want. I mean, the gall, really the gall. In turn, Jesus asked them, what do you want me to do? We know it's ambition that had driven these men to seek Jesus. The desire, they desired important positions in God's kingdom. They're still thinking of an earthly kingdom with palaces and wealth and appointments. Jesus didn't beat around the tree. He said, well, what do you want? What do you want? Now, Jesus is known for answering a question with a question, and so that's what he did. God has a way of getting to the bottom of every problem with answers for us. In the past, I've come to him with ambitious desires. I don't remember coming quite this directly. However, maybe with ambition, directive is best. Ambition is a virtue. And I'm not trying to get ahead in the world's way. God wants us to desire and to seek him above everything else. Our ambition must be centered on him. In Luke chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, Jesus said, those who give up their lives for me will have true life. It is worthless to have the whole world if they themselves are destroyed or lost. Blind ambition, worldly ambition, is never as straightforward as we imagine. They replied, well, of course. Let us sit at your right hand and at your left in your glory. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? They want Jesus to let them sit right next to him when he comes into his kingdom. They have no idea what they are asking. And so Jesus asked them, can you drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? Now we have the advantage of hindsight regarding God's kingdom. But we can't understand what Jesus and the apostles suffered. We want to be in charge without understanding the responsibility. We want the privilege without understanding the unyielding pressures. I have children. I have a son that lives in Hawaii, a daughter that lives in New York. My other daughter lived in Virginia. So I I do a lot of traveling and flying. And people sometimes say, oh, don't you hate to fly? I hate to fly. I'm like, are you kidding me? I have toted mentally challenged people for 35 years in vans, buses. I'm not responsible for one person on that plane. If the plane goes down, it's not my fault. I'll go to heaven and nobody is responsible. Not me. Everybody else might be responsible, but I'm not responsible. I am so thrilled to fly. It's an amazing experience. We crave recognition without comprehending the demands. What we might forget is that ambition in the kingdom of God is opposite from the world. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, and he will lift you up in due time. I'm always amazed at the confidence of the youth. The entire generation seems to be singing a very old song that most of us sang. Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you. Remember when we used to sing that? Mark chapter 10, verse 39. We can, they answered. And Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink, and you will be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. I'm sure he said that sadly. After asking, can we sit next to you? He said, oh yeah. You will do what I do. You will be baptized with the baptism. We know the hard roads these men walked and how they will die. They had no idea. Could any of us imagine the things that we would face or that we will face? No. Yet the amazing part isn't the suffering. It is never the suffering when you are serving God. It is never what you have to go through. It is that God turns the worst into the best, to our very best. It is like he flips eternity upside down. It's like he flips the entire world upside down to say, no, she gets the best. No, he gets the best. Because he followed me. Because he desired me more than anything. Ah. What is my desire? We mustn't forget 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. You were chosen to tell about the wonderful acts of God who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Folks, there are certain things that belong to me, and I can give them away. Other things just aren't mine to give. That's also a heavenly principle. Jesus said, to sit on my right and on my left is not for me to grant. These things belong to those for whom they have been prepared. James and John want to sit right next to Jesus. And they come when he comes into his kingdom. Of course, what are they asking? We know a bit. And Jesus tells them the compelling fact. These positions belong to the people for whom they were prepared. A mystery. Now, who are these people for whom they were prepared? Can I just kind of go off on a rabbit trail just for a minute? Because Jesus didn't tell us, and it's not clear from the scriptures who they are, maybe it's none of my business. There are some things we can't know, and many things that we are not going to understand, and we do not understand. Now, that doesn't mean when we come across something in the Bible that we do not understand, that it is false. It means simply one thing. We do not understand. For now, can't we embrace this amazing ministry? Think how fortunate we are. We've been given the ministry of the gospel, Colossians 1:26, which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to the saints. To the saints. That's us. Now, many of us are familiar with the people who elbow their way to the top. What about the rest of us? Well, we're not James and John. Of course we aren't. But are we ambitious? It appears we are. Mark chapter 10, 41 and 42. When the ten heard about this, they were indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentile lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them." James and John asked for something that the other ten wanted for themselves. And so they were angry. When they heard that, they were indignant. But without any condemnation and with the same and a great deal of simplicity, Jesus explains how the world system works. The world system has one rule. People rule over other people. Everyone has a boss. Every person sitting here has a boss. Each one of us has a boss. I don't care how high you get, you have a boss. My grandson told me the other day he's going to own his own business, so he'll never have a boss. Poor child. Every person, every customer will be his boss. We've all experienced the reality that we will always have a boss. Jesus shed his blood to overcome the world, and he established a kingdom based on humility and honor, not brute force or power. If you've been lifted out of the world system, what are our new ground rules? Is there a glorious way to conquer the tyranny of the world? Yes, Paul explained it simply in Romans chapter 12, verse 21. Do not let evil defeat you, but defeat evil by doing good. Do not let evil defeat you, but defeat evil by doing good. During the pandemic, I put that on my refrigerator. <laughs> 35 years ago, I thought I was humble until hard times exposed me to myself. Mark chapter 10, verses 43 and 45 through 45. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. The 12 disciples are confronted with what life will be like in God's kingdom. To be great, you must serve everyone. To be first, slavery is required. Many years ago, before I did special gathering, I was attending a fairly large church, a big church. But they didn't have a lot of facilities. They had one big room. And I was asked to do Vacation Bible School. Now, there was me and somebody who did music and a couple of other volunteers. And we spent an entire Sunday afternoon and Sunday evening decorating and changing everything in that big room so that we had learning centers on one side. We had crafts and we had all kinds of amazing things. The whole room was decorated. It was just a beautiful place to come in and to learn. Tuesday morning, I walked in an hour early, and my volunteers were there an hour early. And everything had been piled in a room next to the, and it was bare. I walked in and said, "What happened here?" And I was told that the elders of the church had had a fancy dinner, they and their wives, and they had cleared everything out and hadn't set anything up. To be great, we must serve everyone. To be first, slavery is required. Jesus came to serve and give his life to buy back the entire world, to ransom the world. Ambition is not a dirty word in the kingdom. The question is, what do you want or expect, and how will you get there? Serving others with no return, you'll be promoted in God's kingdom. A slave who expects nothing, you will be blessed beyond measure. My ambition was exposed to me when all my ministry was ripped away. And then God gave me a greater prestige than I could ever imagine or possess. He placed me as the pastor and friend to the most wonderful people I've ever met. It has been an exceptional honor to serve within the cloistered subculture, the mentally challenged community. Marginalized, they have little or no place within the church. It isn't that the church doesn't care, it's that the church has no idea how to minister to this population. They do not realize that they desire to hear the gospel. They are so receptive to the gospel. I didn't come at this as a young woman. I was 45 years old. But I have found that they are the most amazing people when it comes to hearing the gospel. Are they sinless? Oh no. Do they want to know Jesus? Oh yes. Amen. And you have been a major part of the ministry of special gathering. Before the pandemic, we had 60 people in Vero, 60 people in Melbourne. No, we haven't come back. But almost. And you were a major part of that and have been for years. For me, the Lord turned the worst thing that could have ever happened to the best thing I've ever experienced. Exactly as He promised. Father, our hearts are full this morning, not of desire to be somebody, but of a desire to be lost in You, lost in who You are, lost in how we can become the people of God that You desire us to be. God, we don't know how to do that, but we know that You have a plan and that we are secure in Your grasp. We are secure in You. And so, Father, we ask that You would bless us, help us, teach us. Let us become the people of God that You desire us to be. We love You, Jesus. Oh, we love You, Jesus. Thank You for the goodness and grace that You pour out on us each day. In Jesus' name we pray.